248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. Final action in Washington this morning at the White House to stave off a nationwide rail strike.
As he signed the bill imposing a contract on objecting rail unions, the president acknowledged its lack of paid sick leave.
But that fight isn't over. I didn't commit we were going to stop just because we couldn't get it in this bill that we were going to stop fighting for it.
Mr. Biden said the decision to force the agreement reached by union leaders on the objecting rank and file wasn't easy. But he said a rail strike would have been devastating for the country. And he noted the workers are in for a 24% pay increase over the five-year contract. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
The government says 263,000 jobs were created in November. It's considered a solid number, but down from the month before. The unemployment rate holding steady at 3.7%. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
When you have an economy that can still create more than 260,000 jobs in a month, it's hard to say that that's the type of economy that's in a recession. That said, most of the analysts are predicting that we will go into a recession at some point in early 2023.
Court ruling after court ruling has gone against Alex Jones for what he has said on his media platforms about the Sandy Hook school massacre and the families of the dead.
Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured.
Now facing around $1.5 billion in damage payments, Jones has filed for personal bankruptcy in Texas. Earlier, his company sought bankruptcy protection. On the Health Watch, COVID-19 has caused illness and stress. CBS's Jim Krasula has the latest scientific findings.
Anxiety, stress, and depression aged teenage brains far faster during the pandemic. That's according to Stanford University researchers. They compared MRI scans taken of teenagers 15 to 18 before the pandemic to scans of the same age group taken during the pandemic.
The brother of Paul Whelan, an American held in Russia, says he has resumed contact with his family. He's in a prison hospital for reasons that have not been made clear. The U.S. team is back in the spotlight tomorrow at the World Cup with a round of 16 showdown with the Netherlands. U.S. defender Walker Zimmerman on CBS Mornings.
We've been the underdogs before. I think it's kind of what has made our team so special is the resiliency that we have. We aren't really worried about what other people are saying. We're focused on the task at hand, and that's to go out there tomorrow and get a result.
U.S. star Christian Pulisic, injured in the win over Iran, vows to play in tomorrow's game. Wall Street right now, stocks making a bit of a comeback. The Dow is down 79 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
This is Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
Mm-hmm. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yeah. And we have UPS here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples is your one-stop shipping destination. Now get 50% off shipping boxes, mailers, or tubes when you buy five of the same item in store or online with 1 hour pickup. Staples, the best kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Exclusions apply. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word FISH to 39747. That's FISH to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text FISH to 39747. Let your voice be heard. And watch Newsmax today.
Don't get tackled by high prices during the Packer game. Head to Jammer's Bar & Grill on Eagle Road in Wisconsin Rapids. With specials starting an hour before kickoff and lasting until the final whistle, you have plenty of time to enjoy $2 brews, $1 off mixers, and free peanuts. Plus, anytime there's a score in the game, Jammer Slammers are only 50 cents. Don't forget about the food, great burgers, sandwiches, and apps. Head over to Jammer's Bar & Grill for fun with family and friends and cheer on Wisconsin's favorite team. Jammer's Bar & Grill, Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The World Axe Throwing Championships and the World Knife Throwing Championships are being held in Appleton December 1st through the 4th at the Fox Cities Exhibition Center. Central Wisconsin will be well represented with 3 throwers from Plover as well as multiple throwers from Wausau. 256 throwers will compete for $50,000 in pool money. Competitors will be attending from all over the globe. Duels begin at noon on Friday, followed by Hatchet and Big Axe on Saturday. The final day of competition will begin at noon on Sunday and will be broadcast on WKTL, WATL, and ESPN. Senator Ron Johnson is calling for a vote to end the military's COVID-19 vaccination requirement. Several Republicans are warning they'll drag out Senate consideration of a massive military policy bill until they get a vote. Johnson says the armed forces are discharging too many men and women because they don't want to get the shot. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 45. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows level off around 10 above. Clear skies tomorrow, 19. Sunny skies and calm Sunday with highs in the low 30s. Chance of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
This here rap is a thank you note. Now pick up the beat while I clear my throat. The story begins with a volleyball school word set to music by a white rap fool. A guy, a class, a volleyball dream in need of some training, if you know what I mean.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bryan. Jade, what was the name of that song?
It's called The Volleyball Rap. We found out at the last minute that we were going to get Molly today, and I didn't have a lot of time to find the perfect bumper song. But
you could have just played On Wisconsin.
No. That's the next segment. Anybody can do that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. It is a big Badger sports weekend. And if you're watching the live stream, you can see that I have my Badger red lipstick on and my Badger sweatshirt on. I did not go to UW-Madison. I am certainly a Badger at heart because my parents both went there, and we've been doing Badger sporting events since I can remember. But this weekend is a big weekend because tonight kicks off the NC2A tournament for the women's volleyball, and the Badgers are the number one seed. And so we thought we'd have a former Badger volleyball player. Molly Haggerty is joining us, and she is a previous Big Ten Freshman of the Year and 3-time All-American outside hitter for the Badgers from 2016 to 2021. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So you graduated in 2021. So of the team that's playing now, how many of the women did you play with?
So when I was looking back to when I played, I was like, when did I graduate? Because with COVID and everything, it was wild. So I graduated 2021, but that was the spring season. So I was not on the team that won the national championship last year. However, I played with, I want to say, 5 of the girls.
Okay.
5, maybe more than that. But I know 5 for sure.
For sure. And so it's one of those, women's volleyball at Wisconsin, we've always been good, right? We are nationally ranked program regularly. And so having been in their shoes of starting the tournament, what do you think the team is doing/feeling going into today or tonight and the tournament itself?
Yeah, well, being in the players' shoes, I just remember December was my favorite month, not only because my birthday was in it, but because the tournament started. And from the beginning of the season, that's what you're always looking for, is the tournament. You want to win a national championship. So I think the girls right now are probably super, super excited. And I know for a fact that Kelly Sheffield is telling them one game at a time.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the key for this team, especially because I know with their last year's run, like, they have that feeling still of winning the title, and they probably want to feel that again. But it really is important to stay in the mindset of one game at a time, because you never know who you're going to face across the net, and maybe they're going to have their best game of their entire life and entire season. So I think it's key for the team just to really stay in the mindset of one game at a time.
Well, I mean, it's why you play the game, right? An upset can always happen. Just because you go in there thinking that we're the number one seed, things happen if you don't keep your head in the game. And so what are the other teams to look out for people who are going to plan on watching the tournament this year?
Yeah, I think this year I mean, every single team I know in the Big Ten, there's no night off. I think that's why the Big Ten is so successful, is because it really does set you up for the tournament. But I mean, there's always the Penn State that's good, Nebraska, Texas, who's usually always at the top. You got Florida, Louisville. I mean, there's so many top teams that have only grown since the beginning of the season. And I think this Wisconsin team this year, that has been the biggest thing has stood out to me, is how much they've grown from the first game they played until now. And I think, I mean, I hope that at some point Wisconsin faces Florida, just because I know that when they played in the Kohl Center, they were so pumped. They had a big crowd and they didn't get the win they wanted, yeah. But they were a completely different team now. So fingers crossed they play them. But again, one game at a time.
So you've graduated and you live in downtown Chicago, but have you been able to come back from any games since you've graduated?
Yeah, I actually came back to when the banner dropped, which was super exciting. And then there was an alumni weekend, Halloween weekend. So I was with a bunch of old teammates. So it was super fun. And of course, watching the Badgers play, they played Minnesota, which Minnesota is another one that's really good. So seeing them win was awesome. But also just being with old teammates is always special.
Yeah, coming back to Madison is always fun. It's always a good reason to come back and go to the KK or something like that.
Exactly. Where's my arm? I'll come.
Exactly. And so have you seen much? Because I feel like when I went to college, a lot of my girlfriends played D1 volleyball at UC Berkeley. So I lived through osmosis of their experience of playing volleyball. But like in the years of, I assume you've been playing since you were a kid. But has there been many changes in women's volleyball, like collegiate volleyball, since you can think of when you started versus what you feel like it is now, or has it been pretty consistent?
I would say that it's kind of gone up and down, if I'm being completely honest. When I was younger, I started playing when I was 10 or 11. So just watching volleyball, everything seemed like so high level. So it's kind of funny, like looking back at like old tapes that my parents had of like high school games and stuff. And in the moment, I thought like, oh my gosh, this is like the highest level volleyball that I'm playing right now. And it's funny because like you think it is until you realize there's another level and there's mm-hmm. another intensity. So I think right now the women's volleyball has kind of turned into, I want to say like a men's style, where it's really, really aggressive, strong hitters, a lot of power, girls that are 6'8". However tall, I was one of the shorter ones on the team. So that was a big wake up call for me.
And how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot. 6'1". And I thought I was pretty tall going in. I'm like, okay, that's not.
I would be a shrimp at 5'10". Jeez.
Yeah.
And so I would be an elf, for heaven's sakes.
But I just think that the level has really just turned up a notch. And I think that they're using back row attack more than they ever have, which really helps out the offense. And like I said, it's just a lot of power that wasn't like that maybe 5 years ago.
Well, it's also very popular. I mean, that was, were you at the, was, I don't know if that overlapped with the game that you said you made it back for, but this year, like, they broke a record for as far as attendance for one of the games, right?
Yeah, I believe that was at the Kohl Center. I wasn't able to make it back. But yeah, Nebraska, I think the week before, broke the record. And then the next week, Wisconsin came back and broke it right after them. So that was pretty cool to see. And yeah, it's awesome to see volleyball growing. And I know Kelly Sheffield has been a huge part of that, and just trying to get volleyball out there on more broadcasts and to be televised more. And they usually don't have a Big Ten media day like they do for men's basketball and men's football, but this year was the first time they had that. So it's just those little steps that really make volleyball stand out more and for people to notice it a little bit more than usual.
Well, it's such a fun sport to watch. It's so fast paced, and just the jumping ability that I don't have. But so since I always think it's interesting for competitive athletes who decide to hang it up either after college, because I think what I learned from my dad is like at some point, every athlete's athletic career comes to an end. And so how has it been moving on past being such a dominant volleyball player in college?
Yeah, it's been a lot. I've had three of my siblings played Division I sports, so they kind of warned me of when you're done, it's going to be tough to process. And I mean, that's all you've ever known is being an athlete. So it's going to kind of take your identity away from you. I sadly had to kind of be forced to be done with volleyball because I ended up hurting my back again. And for anyone that doesn't know, I got back surgery my freshman year. So then I found out once I went overseas to play in Italy that I injured my back again. So it was kind of like, okay, this is probably a time to hang up the jersey. So it was definitely hard for me to process. Yeah. I mean, now it's been a while, so it's gotten better. But there's always part of me that just looks back at all of the memories and wishes that could have gone longer. But I mean, that was a chapter of my life. It closed, but just kind of excited to have a new chapter in my life and just see where it goes.
What are you working on now?
I'm sure my parents are listening and would love to know that. But I'm thinking that I do want to go into coaching. Okay. That's always been a dream of mine. And I've talked with, you know, Kelly Sheffield and Gary White and Brittany Dildine a little bit about that. So currently I'm actually nannying downtown Chicago because my major was human development and family studies. And I really love interacting and just teaching younger kids. So I was missing that part kind of in my life. So I have that balance of kind of doing what I used to do and then kind of still trying to find that hole that is missing. And that's kind of just being a part of a team. And even though I wouldn't be a player on the team, I think just being on that, whatever staff I'd be on and just kind of being with a group makes you feel like you're on a team again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Molly, I've always believed that baseball players are the most suspicious or superstitious rather among the sports. Did your squad have any rituals or things you always did before a game or lucky socks or I don't know, a lucky sports bra or whatever?
That showering.
I always had to put my left shoe on before my right. And it's weird because I never like had any like type of things I would do before a game where I'm like, I have to do this. But then I think it was my junior year and Tiffany Clark, who I used to play with, she was a libero on our team and she wouldn't wash her knee pads.
Oh.
And as much as we all were like, oh my gosh, this is ruining the locker room smell. We're like, okay, we're winning. Like, don't wash them. So that was one of them I remember was Tiffany Clark's, but I didn't really have anything other than I had to put my left shoe on before my right. So random. Don't know why, but yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it got you, yeah. it got you a three-time All-American outside hitter. So, and Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And so clearly something was working. But Molly Haggerty, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really fun. Go Badgers. And maybe, I don't know, who knows? Maybe we'll see you on the coaching bench at some point.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Molly Haggerty is a previous Big Ten Freshman of the Year and three-time All-American outside hitter who played for the Badgers women's volleyball team from 2016 to 2021. You can catch them tonight at 7 p.m. Go Badgers. All right. Thanks so much. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Conditioning and drills at length plus core positioning for overall strength. Complete the class with a chalk talk session, then play the part of the six-man lesson.
Show me how to play.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Place for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We were rolling through this lunch hour with the Badger Hour, or I guess we can open it up and say Wisconsin Sports Hour, because tomorrow the big rivalry game between Marquette versus the Badgers men's basketball game is happening, and this is the 129th time I think they're playing. And I grew up in a Badger house. My dad played for the Badgers in the 70s, men's basketball. And I just remember growing up and having a bias against Marquette because of this long-standing rivalry. So to joining us right now to talk a little bit more about that rivalry and one of the most infamous, if not most infamous, Wisconsin sports events to ever happen is former Badger basketball player and my dad, Peter Bry. How you doing, Dad?
Doing quite well, thank you.
So, how would you, before we get into the actual game, how would you say that the rivalry has changed over time between the Badgers basketball, men's basketball team, and the Marquette Golden Eagles?
You know, I got to tell you, I don't think it's changed that much. I mean, it's always sellout crowds and, you know, whoever wins kind of have a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, it's I just think it's still never really changed and stuff like that.
Do you have predictions for tomorrow's game?
Well, Marquette is much quicker than we are in athletic. We're going to have to slow it down and grind it out and get them frustrated. But I would never, ever say Marquette's going to win.
Really? Even after that that big upset they had against Baylor earlier this week? Everyone in the Milwaukee area, people are very excited about that and feel like they're just going to take it to us this weekend. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a good game.
In this particular venue, my judgment is overseeded by my heart.
All right. I appreciate that response. So, I would say it's interesting having moved back and understanding this game from 1974 that lives in infamy as far as kind of the peak of this rivalry. And you played in that game. So from your point of view, why don't you just have a chance to retell that story of your good friend, the Hughes twins brothers' dad and Al McGuire, and how the whole thing played out.
So it was pretty much a game that Wisconsin was in the lead for the majority of the game. And, you know, it was a nail biter. And unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of Wisconsin fans in that, the old arena and stuff. But it was crazy. And with 17 seconds to go in the game, Kim Hughes, who Long-time pro player and very good University of Wisconsin college player. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. He was a 71% free throw shooter for the year, and he got fouled and went to the free throw line. We're up one, and all he, you know, if he makes the second one, you know, where at least it can happen is get tied, and if he makes them both, there was no three-point shot. So he got up there and he clanked the first one, and boom, he clanks the second one. Marquette calls timeout, and so he gets all set, and the defense is set, and everybody, and they can't penetrate, and they, with about 3 seconds to go, they threw a ball, and Maurice Lucas, who was one of Marquette's great players, also won the NBA championship with Portland and Bill Walton, picked it up off the ground on the left side of the free throw line, hit a 17-footer as the horn, as it goes through the net, the horn sounds, and we lost by one. So the what ensued after that is, someone got an incredible picture that told the whole story. Coach Paulus, who was a tremendous man, someone I really respected and did a lot for me, had his head down coming through the middle of the court. Al McGuire, as only Al McGuire could, jumps on the scorer's table and puts both hands in the air. And what sealed the deal of this event was Kim Hughes. It was Kim and Carrie, the Hughes twins, and they had a nice career there. I don't know what the proper thing to say here, but we're all adults, and he gave Al the finger, and it was front page in the Journal Sentinel the next day.
It is quite the picture. They have it. I have it. They still, every once in a while, I think Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does something with the story. And in the archives, they have this picture. And it is, because you always said that Glenn Hughes was like a really soft-spoken, like nice man. So this was totally out of character for him, right?
In terms of who we're talking about, Mr. Hughes or Coach Paulus?
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, he's a father.
Yeah, that's true.
And it just... it just describes or illustrates the rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you wouldn't normally do that walking down the street or anything like that if you didn't, you know, because he probably never met or he might have met Al McGuire. But, yeah, it's, that's just the way it is.
All right, well, quickly, because I know someone is, there's rumors of an Al McGuire movie. Who do you think would play, who, what actor do you think would make a good Al McGuire?
Wow. You know, that's kind of your business. You've got a better scope
fair enough.
Would think. You know, I watch the movies. I guess I don't memorize their faces.
That's fair. All right. Well, Dad, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today and retell that story. It's definitely a good one when it comes to this rivalry, but I know that you will be watching tomorrow, and fingers crossed that we get a Badgers win.
With a USA win and a Badger win, it wouldn't be any better day than you could possibly think of.
Absolutely. All right. Peter Rye, my father, former Badger basketball player, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and locally grown radio.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal: giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. For the small town of Abbotsford, the annual Christmas parade is a big deal. For the 51st year, the little town of around 2,000 people will enjoy more than 45 floats and hundreds of costumes in the parade that always takes place on the first Saturday in December. One of the favorite floats is the sinuous Puff the Magic Dragon that twines around the street and blows steam towards attendees. Puff has been a part of the annual parade since the 1970s and has become the star of the show. Thousands of hours go into making the storybook theme parade a magical event for everyone. Newer floats feature characters from Disney movies and popular shows, and not to be outdone by a dragon, Santa Claus is sure to make an appearance. The parade starts on Abbotsford's Main Street at 7 p.m. December 3rd. In sports, for college women's volleyball, Wisconsin hosts Quinnipiac tonight. Also tonight, the Bucks take on the Lakers. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 45. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows level off around 10 above. Clear skies tomorrow, 19. Sunny skies and calm Sunday with highs in the low 30s. Chance of snow Monday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 41.
2789. And for the next half hour, we have a guest, a friend of mine, who we were just talking that I have interviewed you before, but it was when I was covering for the Devil's Advocates before this show even started. But I'm so happy to have Allison Chavez-Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin, join us today. She's been there for 2 years and is developing a new department and team who are working on implementing the agency's new community-centric model across the state. And so it's going to be bringing resources to people in each community where Planned Parenthood still has health centers, and creating an experience called My Planned Parenthood. So love to talk to you more about that. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks so much. It's great to see you. I don't think I've seen you in person since the day of the Dobbs decision.
I think I came over. There was a protest over at Red Arrow in Milwaukee, and you were doing your bilingual translation, and you're giving a rousing speech. And I think I actually tweeted out, because you're like, not only are we not closing down, we're hiring at Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's been since June that I've the last time we really spoke or saw each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are still hiring. I was just actually looking at our job posting. So for everyone listening out there, if you want to be a part of this amazing work and mission, join us. There's like so many opportunities right now because we're growing a lot.
Which is, let's get to the growing in a second, because I first want to just make sure that we cover what this new model is that you guys are implementing across the state.
Yeah. So thank you for the introduction. I have been at Planned Parenthood just about 2 years and a week or something, or 2 weeks. It's been an amazing journey. I am running a new department, the Department of Community Relations, but we're trying to implement a new business model called Community Centric. And I don't think that the work itself is new for Planned Parenthood at all. We were created out of a need that came directly from communities, and all the work that we do is so connected to people in our communities who have great needs. And, you know, the work that our education team does, our public affairs team, they are embedded in communities already. What we're trying to do is really connect, though, all of those internal departments that exist at Planned Parenthood more with our health centers, because I think we're all kind of focused, as anyone who works in a nonprofit knows, you kind of get in your little mode of your department and you're focused on that important work, and there's always more work than people, and we tend to forget about including each other. So we're trying to connect these things a little more intentionally to our health centers so that they know, oh, hey, you're going to be at that farmer's market. You just did a workshop at that school. You are canvassing in the neighborhood for the upcoming election. We want our health centers to feel connected to the work that we're doing in the community so that they can direct their patients to the other resources and help that we have. And also, we're building relationships out in the community with partner organizations that can better serve our patients, because when our patients come to us, they trust us. They maybe, a lot of them haven't been to any healthcare provider in months, years, who knows. And they come to us, they trust us, and they're telling us, yeah, I'm here for this appointment, but I also have all these other needs and we can't do everything, but we have amazing partnerships with people all over the state who can help them with, you know, food security, warm clothes for the winter, immigration help, you know, whatever their needs are. We're trying to connect with partners. So it's not new work, but we're just formalizing it and really trying to build out the teams and try to have a greater impact in each community where we have a health center right now. And then after that, all the places in Wisconsin where, unfortunately, we don't have brick-and-mortar health centers.
How many brick-and-mortar Planned Parenthood health centers are there across Wisconsin?
There are 22, okay. And then we have a new thing happening called Launchpad, which is just like a telehealth site that might be housed in another community organization. So we have two of those right now, one in Beloit at the Community Action site, and one in Sparta that's just opening in their Cooley Cap, I think it's the Cooley Cap organization. So those are like telehealth sites where someone can either access telehealth from their car in the parking lot because we have internet working there, or they can come in and actually make an appointment and do it right there.
So
we're trying to expand that.
Yeah. And I think this is a good time as a reminder, is so people, I think probably unless you've been living on a rock, know that as of right now, abortion is not legal in Wisconsin. And yet 22 plus two telehealth centers that are owned by Planned Parenthood are still functioning because there is so many other health services that Planned Parenthood provides, even when abortion is not one of them, which is the case in Wisconsin. And so just as a reminder for folks who sometimes only associate that one piece of healthcare to Planned Parenthood, what are some of the other services that Planned Parenthood provides why your patients would still be so reliant on the services that are provided?
Yes, good point. I do want to say too that I think one thing that is really interesting that I've been noticing, like I said, I've only been here 2 years. When I grew up you know, when I was a teen in the 90s, I knew that Planned Parenthood existed. I knew I could go there. I had health insurance. I was lucky. I had a great relationship with my parents. I did not talk to them about my sexual and reproductive health. So I knew that I could just, on my own time, go to Planned Parenthood, and I did. And what we're kind of finding right now in the communities is that a lot of people don't know we're still here and we're still open. I think, unfortunately, people who don't support us have had sometimes a louder voice in the discussion. And so people might think that, oh, because abortion access isn't happening right now in Wisconsin, that we're just closed down. But we did not close any health centers. We didn't lay anyone off. And we are open now for family planning, as we always have been, at these health centers. And we converted our centers that were providing abortion into family planning centers. So people actually have two additional places they can come see us. They can come to see us for, you know, finding out what the best method of birth control is, for pregnancy tests, for counseling about that. Maybe they have a lot of questions about, oh my God, I just found out I'm pregnant. I don't know yet what I want to do. We will listen to them and help them figure out whatever option they want to go with. That's also another misconception that, you know, if you want to continue your pregnancy, please come to us. We'll help you figure out getting, you know, to get the resources that you need. HIV testing, STI testing, breast and cervical cancer screenings. In 2020, we started doing gender-affirming hormone therapy, the HPV vaccine. So we see men, we see people of all genders. We're a safe place for people to come and be seen for lots of things. And we have such an awesome education department that we can direct people to. We are doing workshops in community organizations and schools, trying to just educate people about their sexual and reproductive health and make sure that they really have all the accurate information they need to be able to lead their life the way they want to lead it.
Allison, I think that's so important that people understand that men can use Planned Parenthood for things. I just think that that's something that's continually not even within a transom of thought.
Yeah, a lot of people just think of us as women's healthcare, and certainly we are, you know, the experts in that field, and have been around for over 100 years providing healthcare. And it did start out just for women, but we do provide services to men. I was just actually on a trip with some of my colleagues from our health promoter program, the Promotores de Salud. We were in Green Bay for a couple days recruiting for new health promoters. And, you know, we kind of take condoms everywhere we go, but you don't always want to lead with that. So we were handing out some free COVID tests and talking to people about the program. But, you know, when we were talking to men, we're like, hey, do you want some condoms? And, you know, people sometimes are like, really? They are a little shy, and then they take a few and they're like, can I, I'll just take some for some friends. It's like, grab a handful, please. But yes, we're a safe place and great place for men to come and also take charge of their sexual and reproductive health.
We're talking to Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relations. It's Friday. Community relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin about the new community-centric model that they're implementing across all of the health clinics, Planned Parenthood health clinics in Wisconsin. And so I guess to pivot a little bit more to the ongoing situation, the 1849 criminal ban that is leaving people who are pregnant with a lack of options, whether it's a planned pregnancy that they want or one that they don't want. So what, I guess, really, like we said, since the last time you and I saw each other was the day that Dobbs came out and Roe was overturned. And so what have some of the cases been like as far as I know? You know, I think every once in a while, sometimes in Wisconsin, sometimes in one of the other states that has a ban right now, we hear very extreme cases of women who have a pregnancy that is either not viable or a miscarriage, and there's huge health implications. But I think beyond some of the more extreme cases, what has been the experience of these last, I mean, I guess it's approaching 6 months now, as far as still providing care for someone who comes in and is wondering what their options are in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Of course, a lot of the narrative about abortion care is driven by really extreme cases, and those are horrible, and people need to be able to access care. And, you know, in the case of ectopic pregnancies or, you know, fetal anomalies, you know, these cases are awful and horrific. But whatever reason someone seeks abortion care is valid. And some of those reasons aren't the quote unquote extreme cases. Some people don't know what's happening in the state because their lives are busy. And, you know, a lot of people do come to Planned Parenthood when something happens and there's an emergency, and they just might not be, you know, those of us that are embedded in the news and reading every single article we can every single day, you know, that not everyone can do that. Not everyone has that luxury of doing that or that interest. Their lives are busy. So, you know, when people find out that they're pregnant and they don't want to continue with that, hopefully they're calling us to try to find out what to do. And some people are like, what do you mean I can't access healthcare in my own community? This is not acceptable. It's not sustainable for people, regardless of their situation. But what we're doing is trying to help people figure out where the nearest, most appropriate appointment is. So we have added pregnancy assessment and ultrasound dating appointments that are free for people to come if they can to Madison or Milwaukee or Sheboygan. They can do these appointments as well to find out how far along they are exactly, so that when we help them book an appointment, it's the right one, so that they're not showing up, for example, trying to get a medication abortion, but they're too far along for that procedure. So we want to help them. So we have patient navigators who are helping people figure that out. If people feel like they can handle booking the appointment on their own, they really know how far along they are, they can go to Abortion Finder and, you know, find their own appointment and do it on their own. But some people are so overwhelmed, understandably, with the disruption in their life that this situation presents, that they need help. And so our navigators help them figure out where to go. Do they need financial help for the procedure? Do they need transportation help? That might be in the form of a bus ticket or a gas card. Do they need a hotel? Do they want to go to Illinois, which is our closest option? Or do they want to go to Colorado because they have a family member there? So we're just trying to help them figure out where they're at, what they need, and then hopefully they come back and see us when they get back so that we can help them with their care and help them move forward with their lives. And, you know, just it's just ridiculous that people can't just, you know, I mean, it's hard enough. Some people had to drive, a couple hours to Madison or Milwaukee, but to actually have to leave the state, yeah. I mean, it's wild.
It's not good. It's not good. All right. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. Our guest this half hour is Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the bilingual director of community relationships at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out! You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out! I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay! Yay.
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
On FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Allison Chavez Stewart, who is the Bilingual Director of Community Relations at Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. And we're talking about the new community-centric model that is getting implemented across the state. And so we touched on a little bit in the last segment, but as far as some of the more tangible like partnerships of, I think for anyone who knows more about health, that you can't always, a lot of these issues are not just standalone health things. And there's sometimes access to, it's interwoven with wealth access or monetary access and good food and stuff like that. So is that kind of the partnerships that is part of this community-centric model?
Yeah, absolutely. What we're trying to do is really identify what are some of the major needs of each community where we have health centers. And my staff and the staff of all of our community-facing teams, so education, public affairs, our development staff too, are out in the communities trying to understand what the most high-level needs are for people. And my staff are building those partnerships in communities. So in La Crosse, my colleague Carol Lee is, for example, sits on the selection committee for Habitat for Humanity. So when they're, seeking families who need housing, she's right in there and understands, like, really right there on the ground level what communities are facing. My colleague, Scarlett, who just started in May, is working in Racine and Kenosha and is also on the board of the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin. So she's really connected to those issues and is, because she's new, is out at every community event that she can possibly be at in Racine and Kenosha so that people start to see us and realize, like, oh, hey, they're here. And she might be at a health and wellness fair. She might be at Juneteenth. My colleague, Tara, in Milwaukee is doing some really amazing things in the community around our Northwest Health Center. So on the north side of Milwaukee, she hosted our first back to school bash in September. And we had a full day of community activities for families to come and get a backpack filled with school supplies for their kids for school, because we know that families can't afford some of those things right now, especially. And so we had food. We had other health agencies there to provide information about COVID testing, and Familia Dental was there. So for people to see, like, okay, these agencies are in my neighborhood. This health center is helping my kids with school supplies. We were doing a lot of raffles and we had games, and the Bucks donated some stuff to us. So, we're just trying to remind people that, health isn't just for us. Health isn't just about your sexual and reproductive health, but all these things are connected. And as we try to move to more of a reproductive justice model, what that really means is that you decide when and if you want to have a family, and that family, whether it's you on your own or an extended group of lots of kids and family, you deserve to grow up and live in a community that's safe and sustainable and healthy. And that extends out really to everything, to schools, to drinking water, to the environment, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And so it's in kind of speaking in that, as far as the resources available. And so for someone who was interested in getting pregnant, is that something that Planned Parenthood could help out with, especially if you are on the geriatric side of pregnancy?
Don't you love that term? I've been on my own journey, and it's been very interesting to be in your own life and then come and work at Planned Parenthood and sort of just start to, you know, my eyes have really been open to the unfortunate ways that women in the healthcare system have been treated, and really anyone who's not a white male has been treated for the healthcare system, but using the term geriatric is one of those things that's very frustrating. But I think you could come to Planned Parenthood and talk to one of our providers about where you're at, what you need. That might involve getting off birth control and really seeing what your options are. You may, have to be referred to a specialist, but we can also help with referrals. But yes, definitely coming to Planned Parenthood to create your plan is part of the deal and in the name.
Allison, is it realistic to assume that the next step will be for opponents of reproductive choice to go after birth control and IVF and things like that?
I mean, I hope not, but they did definitely, they have, those things were mentioned in the decision and have been started to be bandied about in discussions and different laws here and there. And, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it is horrifying to think that the ultimate goal of the right is to not only create a national abortion ban, but to outlaw birth control. That's ridiculous. So does that extend to condoms? What are we talking about here? And when we talk to our talk internally and to our partners, part of the problem with the law that is on the books is that it was created at a time way before any of the technology that we're using today. They didn't have ultrasounds. Doctors weren't creating these laws, and doctors aren't writing these laws now. So that's a problem. I don't know what's going to happen, but we do have to keep this in the forefront of people's minds that, unfortunately, these issues don't just, when people say that's not my issue, nobody is going around in their life thinking about when am I going to have an abortion? It is something you need to be aware of, because someone you or someone you care about or someone you love will have an abortion. And so you need to understand what's at stake. Unfortunately, we've heard a lot of stories from doctors locally and across the country that, people who are planning pregnancies or trying to plan pregnancies or getting pregnant, these appointments that they're going to now aren't as joyful as they once were, because they have to be totally aware of the laws in their state and what will happen if something goes wrong with their wanted pregnancy. Can they even get care in their state, or do they have to go elsewhere? We're really trying to make sure that doctors locally understand what they can and can't do. And our staff has been so awesome in helping to provide information to doctors across the state. But this is not how we should be approaching healthcare. People should be able to lead their lives how they want, get pregnant or not, and be able to go to their healthcare provider and have, a conversation and get the care they need.
Absolutely. Well, within 1 minute that we have left before we have to let you go, what resources would you like to direct people to?
As far as everything that we do, you can find it all on our website at ppwi.org. That'll help you make an appointment on telehealth, or to go in to one of our spaces. You can find out more information about abortion access if that's what you're looking for. If you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, all the ways that you can get involved with us, it's all there on the website. You can look at ppawi.org if you want to be part of our on-the-ground effort to work on elections and many other things. Join us.
All right.
If you want to work for us, I'm going to keep plugging
that.
They're
growing. They are growing. Allison Chavez-Stewart is the Bilingual Director of Community Relations at Planned Parenthood.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in the explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. Yes.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper.